morning and welcome to Out of Bounds. I'm Tish Perlman. My guest is Regina O'Brien. O'Brien is a singer-songwriter as well as a voiceover artist. She released her first CD, Velvet Memory, earlier this year. Welcome to the show, Regina.
Thank you, Tish.
Listen, you're originally from South Carolina, and in your biography you state that you've been subjected to a cliche or two, like a dirt road in the distance, the occasional trailer park, a thousand or so Baptist sermons. Tell us more about your upbringing. I find that quite fascinating.
Well, I was born in Aiken, South Carolina, which is near Columbia, where it's really, really hot. It's called the armpit of Satan sometimes. and I'd moved around a lot when I was pretty young. I did go to the same high school, so I stayed put for a little while. But it was just, I lived in different rural areas of South Carolina up until I was about 20, 21, and then I moved to Greenville, which is a bigger city in Carolina. But yeah, I've lived in a trailer, and I grew up Southern Baptist, so I was at church.
That could be a whole nother subject.
A lot, yeah.
Uh-huh. So this all, people's upbringings always influence them. That is the reason why I like to begin with, you know, a picture of where you're from, and so we can find out why you're where you are right now. So I know you didn't take up music till you were older. You were 30 or so.
Yeah, I was 30 when I got the guitar. I did some singing in church choir growing up, and I also did some musical theater in my early 20s. So I was able to sing. I was never a solo singer, though, until now. I was always too shy to do it. And I guess now I just have a guitar to hide behind, so it's easier. But yeah, I had mentioned to a friend that I wanted to learn to play guitar. And so I got a guitar for my 30th birthday. And just started, well, I downloaded stuff online, like showing me where to put my fingers to play the different chords. Mm-hmm. And I did that at home by myself, and I learned Jambalaya by Hank Sr. because it was only two chords. So that was the first song I learned, really the only song that I learned to play on a guitar. And it became boring playing in my kitchen, so whenever I would want to learn a new chord, I would just write a song with that new chord in it to make it more fun, and because I guess I felt like it would stick that way.
So you didn't start playing guitar till you were 30, but were you already writing at least lyrics?
No.
So you started all this at once?
Pretty much, yeah.
Well, that's amazing.
I'm still surprised.
And so it was never on your radar. You weren't one of those kids who had scraps of paper around and were, you know, these poems or lyrics coming up.
I wrote a few poems growing up, and in school, like elementary school, I guess sort of gifted as a writer for compositions and stuff. But no, I've never been one to carry around a notepad, and I wasn't a serious writer, I guess.
So the guitar prompted you to start writing?
Yeah, I guess so.
Basically.
Yeah.
That's quite amazing to me, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you also play other people's work?
No, I don't. Like I said, the Jambalaya was the only song I ever learned, and I guess I had fun doing my own thing, and I've just continued doing that. There are lots of other musicians that I like, that I respect and admire, and I like a lot of different music, but I guess I'm just so busy playing my own stuff that I haven't learned anybody else's.
And so do you take stuff from your own life to write about, or are you on the road? Many writers just write about love and heartbreak. Where do you get your inspiration?
Nothing is contrived that I write about, and it could be, it's not all necessarily happening to me, but I have some kind of connection with everything I'm writing, whether it's something that I see another person experiencing, or something that I heard, or I could be inspired by something I read. Not that I would copy what I wrote, but it's a source of inspiration. And basically what I do is I kind of keep a Word document on my laptop that is just, it's titled Random Lyrics. And so whenever anything comes to me, I just jot it down in there. And then whenever it's time, a melody comes, and I just kind of marry those two somehow.
Yeah.
I'm not always altogether sure how it works.
It's a mystery.
It is kind of a mystery.
Will you play something for us?
Sure.
And tell us what this is going to be.
Okay, this song is called Bells and Whistles, and I won't tell you what it's about. I'll just let you listen to it. It's not on my CD. It should be on the upcoming CD, though.
Great. So this is hot off the press. What that was about, what prompted it?
Bells and whistles. What prompted it? I don't, it's hard for me to answer that without being personal.
Oh, really? Okay.
I guess, well, we could go over some of the images, I guess. Old skin is hard to slither out of, so get up and bar the door. That kind of just refers to bad habits that we develop in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the verse, one thing that's hard to take for granted is a tragic movie star. I guess the picture I'm drawing there is how, you know, and how people can just be tragic when there's no need to be.
Mm-hmm. So you think it's sort of an act? Or?
Kind of melodramatic. Oh, mm-hmm. I don't think it's intentional necessarily. I think sometimes we just, you know, there's just learned behavior because it gets certain results. Mm-hmm. And I think, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of times we have these behaviors because we just do, you know, not necessarily on purpose or because we're bad people. Mm-hmm. I guess we're all just kind of like children.
I would say I think most people are just neurotic. Is what I think.
Oh, everyone is. Sure.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah, we all
keep doing the same thing.
And we're all trying to get what we want from life and from people.
That's right. Yeah. So you know, I wanted to ask you also about you released your first CD, Velvet Memory, earlier this year. How did you know when you were ready to actually produce something like this for the public?
I really didn't. I mean, I had a lot of friends encouraging me along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I had written, I guess I had written about a dozen or so songs, and I just kind of felt like I should start recording. You know, it occurred to me then, okay, this looks like something that I'm going to keep doing,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I had just tried the guitar. I didn't know if it would be something I would just get tired of and discard or mm-hmm. if I would really do it. And I realized at that point that I would keep doing it and that I needed to record so I could write more mm-hmm. and record more.
Yeah, it's a very public undertaking, so I often wonder at what point, especially since you just started recently, mm-hmm. you haven't been doing this since you were a kid.
Yeah.
So, I, you know, and ready to show, you know, be vulnerable and show all your stuff to the public in such an open way.
It is. And I, you know, if I didn't have anyone encouraging me all that time, I probably wouldn't have persisted, mm-hmm. but I had enough people who, and I trusted their opinion mm-hmm. as far as music, because these are friends that are, you know, listen to all the local music. Mm-hmm. And
mm-hmm. But you had to have been ready, too. I mean, prompting from friends doesn't necessarily move you if you hadn't been ready yourself to undertake this, I would assume. You have to have a certain amount of confidence yourself,
a
right?
certain amount of, it's either confidence or just a resolve to accept what I am mm-hmm. or what I have to offer.
And that it's valuable.
That it's valuable because it's what I have to offer, and not necessarily because it falls into a pattern
mm-hmm.
Or sounds like something else.
Mm-hmm. Well, I noticed you got really talented, well-known local musicians to work on this CD. You had our own Tim Reppert playing bass on one song. You have Peter Glanville and Steve Galnick from Hubcap. How did you get these people to play on your CD?
I paid them. No, I didn't. well, I love Hubcap. I'm a longtime fan of Hubcap. I just think they're incredible. And back then, I was... when I was playing around with the guitar and songwriting, I was also going out on weekends and listening to Hubcap, and I became sort of friendly with them, and I just asked them when it was time, you know, when I knew kind of what I wanted them to do mm-hmm. on the CD, I just asked them if they would, and they seemed pretty happy to do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So this was sort of an experiment at first, right? I mean, did you know what kind of backup you'd want until you actually got people together and started listening to how it would sound?
No, I kind of just decided what I would want. Mm. I produced that CD myself. I don't know if that's going to happen again, but it was really important to me to produce that first one myself, no matter what it sounded like. I basically just wanted it to be a big me project.
That's okay. That's perfectly natural, I would say.
And so I also did not want it to sound overproduced.
Mm.
I didn't want it to sound like a band because I'm not a band. I wanted it to, it's kind of like if you always wear a bunch of makeup and then all of a sudden you don't wear any, people don't recognize you. And I don't have a band to play out with me, so I wanted my CD to kind of sound like me, like kind of quiet, I guess.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Regina O'Brien. She's a singer-songwriter. Back to that subject, though. So you didn't want it to become more dressed up than you know who you are, right?
Right.
Is that the reason why you didn't?
Right.
Because a lot of people, when they do give their work over to someone else who's a producer, they do tend to dress it up and use their own vision. So.
Yeah, it just wouldn't have been honest. Uh-huh. If I really had a band, a full-blown band, then, of course, I would produce a CD that's full-blown, you know, but I want to continue to play out, and I don't want people to hear the CD and then come and see me and be completely bored because the drums aren't there.
I've talked to a lot of people like Janice Ian and Holly Near and people in the past who've said they've wanted to be independent producers just for that reason, so they can keep the integrity of their own vision without the producers from big companies who are, frankly, trying to just make money.
Yeah, and it's okay to do that. I think it's okay to keep your own vision because, you know, if it's drums that people want or if it's some other kind of sound that people want, you know, Lord knows there's so much music here. Mm. To choose from that you can go and hear whatever you like.
So. I want to know where you came up with the title Velvet Memory. It's an interesting title.
Velvet Memory, it's actually a phrase from the last song on the CD from Garden of Eden. It's basically saying that the Garden of Eden is in your mind, that it's a state of mind or a velvet memory. And I don't know where I came up with that.
It's interesting because when I saw the title before I listened to any of the music, I was thinking it has to do with the past is comfort, is a place of comfort. Velvet
nice
memory.
Nice childhood memories.
Yeah. You've also said that this area is a great place for music, lots of collaboration and place venues and stuff. And you also meet people playing different genres. You know, I know classical people who also play jazz. Has this helped you with a learning experience and broadened your musical education, if you will?
Do you mean the fact that people play all kinds of
music? Yeah, and that you're being exposed to so many different traditions. Does it make you want to expand your own?
No, but I enjoy it a lot. Yeah. I enjoy hearing all that a lot. I guess... As far as expanding, I guess I just want to grow naturally, however that is. Definitely, though, being exposed to the music around here has been influential for me and helpful and also encouraging because it makes me think, well, there's a place for all this stuff. Maybe there's a place for my kind of stuff, too. But as far as growth for myself. I don't even know what I envision. I guess I'm just kind of wrapped up in the present. And I should take a guitar lesson or two, but I probably won't get around to doing that either.
Well, it seems like there are a lot of musicians around here who would be offering.
Yeah, they've offered before. I may do that someday, but I guess what I love the most is the writing. That's the most fun for me. I enjoy performing and recording can be fun, but writing is my all-time favorite.
Then you'll be able to do it forever.
Thing to do. And I can do that without guitar lessons, too. I mean, the words are the most important thing to me.
Which brings me to the fact that next time you put out a CD, please print the lyrics. I miss that greatly because most singer-songwriters, I'm very interested in the lyrics, too. And I would love to have seen that on the CD.
To share
your words with us.
Definitely. Yeah. That was one idea I sort of had in mind, believe it or not.
I believe it, yeah.
The next one.
Yeah, hopefully you will because it seems very important.
Yeah, I can't think of any reason not to do that.
Well, please sing another song for
us. I will do it. This one is brand new, and it's called Switchyard Lullaby. I'm assuming you know what a switchyard is.
Explain, because our listeners might not.
Where trains are, where you see, like, instead of one track, you see lots of tracks kind of clustered together, and it's where they switch the trains out for exporting, importing purposes, I guess. I've always kind of liked trains. You can close your eyes and let her walk away from the wreckage. You can be half full, don't overestimate all the damage. Shoulders get weaker, but nothing.
you faithfully up above the wall of your life. Sleeping on the third floor, you're closer to the first star. Your wishes are more likely to be granted. But don't get lost looking
that in my songs, there are, you know, like I said before, there are things that I've either experienced personally or someone near me has experienced them. And I also include, like, I throw in some sort of metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
Because I kind of want the song to be universal. I want others to draw something from it.
Mm-hmm.
And so generally, I don't really go into detail about what this song means or what it's specifically about mm-hmm. for that reason. Because
mm-hmm.
I feel like I kind of kill it for everybody.
Yeah, I understand that, but I was just wondering.
Like what prompted this
yeah,
song?
Yeah, I mean, were you sitting
longing? I'll tell you. Okay, I'll tell you about the Switchyard. The Switchyard is in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And like I said, I've always loved trains for some reason.
There is something romantic about them, isn't there?
Yeah, you can just get on them and go.
Or get on them and come to something wonderful, yes.
Yeah, I always told myself, one thing I want to do before I die is hop a train, but I don't know if I'll do that. Now I have kids. So some of those things you want
to
do before
you
die change.
You have to hop
change.
A train when you're much older and might not
much
be
older,
feasible.
And I don't know if I can do it. It's a good thing I had them young. And also the lyrics, sleeping on the third floor, you're closer to the first star, that also refers to Bethlehem.
Mm-hmm. So you're just inspired by place and moments. And
I am pretty much inspired by anything
mm-hmm.
and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm pretty open to inspiration.
Oh, that's great. Now, I wanted to ask you about your style. Do you consider yourself country or folk? You seem to be a bit of both.
Yeah, I guess so. And, you know, I'm finally accepting what I sound like because I grew up listening to classic country,
mm-hmm.
and I listened to country.
You mean like what, Hank Williams?
Hank Williams and Patsy Cline,
mm-hmm.
and Johnny Cash. And then when I first started working in radio, one of my first jobs was to push buttons for a syndicated show that played some classic country like Ronnie Millsap and Barbara Mandrell. But then I think as I got a little bit older, I got maybe a little bit snooty about my Southern heritage. And, you know, I always thought, oh, I don't want to sound country. You know, I just don't want to sound like that. Mm. But that's what I am. I mean, that's when I started with music, you know, even a year or two ago, I thought maybe I should buy an electric guitar so I can sound more like a rocker chick instead
But the Dixie Chicks have both.
They do have,
you know,
both.
So the Southern babe can also go into rocking out.
Yeah, I haven't tried rocking out yet. But,
well, I can see that coming. I can see it in your eyes.
Oh, okay.
but
I have accepted what I sound like, and it is kind of I don't know what the definition of alt country is. Mm. But I just...
So that would be alternative country.
Yeah, I have a feeling it could be something like that. I usually, when somebody asks what kind of music I write, I usually say folk songs, you know, or folky music.
But you're hard to define just like Emmylou Harris is.
Mm. You know? Oh, okay.
Because she's not really total country, and she sings a lot of songs that are folky.
Yeah.
And she's even gotten into kind of a pop thing as well.
Oh, okay.
A few times, I think.
Yeah.
So then why should you have to define yourself, right? I mean, maybe we've reached a point where we don't even need to do that.
And the new Loretta Lynn, that Loretta Lynn album, wasn't that rocked up pretty good?
That's what I've heard,
Yeah.
But before we run out of time, I want to touch on another aspect of your creativity. You're a voiceover artist.
Yeah, well, you are
a voiceover artist. Tell us some of the stuff you've done and how did you get into that?
Okay, well, presently, I'm the voice of Microbe World. Microbe Woman, as I like to call her sometimes. Uh-huh. And that airs on WEOS twice a day during the week. And I've been voicing that for 3 years through Finger Lakes Productions.
Uh-huh.
Let's see. I got into it in 95. That's when I started working in radio. And when you work in air shift, you just naturally have some production to do. You have to do voiceovers. And so it started there. It started with doing commercials at the radio station. And then in 98, when my daughter was born, my first daughter, I quit radio, but I kept doing freelance voiceovers. Mm-hmm. And I haven't gone back into radio, but I've continued to do the voiceover work.
Mm-hmm. Do you find it fun? It's so different than,
it
you
is
know,
fun.
Writing your own music.
Yeah, yeah, it is different. But it is fun. It's like second nature now. And I really do enjoy it and hope that I've gotten better at it over the last 11 years. You know, from since I started.
Sure you have. Well, we are almost out of time. Tell us just really quickly what's happening in the future.
What's happening in the future? Well, I'm looking forward to this fall because I'm going to try to begin recording my second CD at home. And as far as shows lined up, Friday, August 25th at Castaways, I'm playing as well as the Swing Gypsies and Teacher's Lounge. And this is a benefit for the Ride for Life.
Mm.
Fall Fest in Elmira, Saturday, September 30th at 11:30 a.m. And then Saturday, September 23rd at the Rongo, the Americana Jubilee. I believe it's the second annual Americana Jubilee.
Well, great.
I'll be out there. And I'm not sure about the lineup for the rest of that show.
Oh, but that's great. So people can look forward to seeing you in the fall.
Yeah.
Well, we have run out of time. Thank you so much for being with us, Regina O'Brien.
Thank you.
Our audio producer is Tim Reppert at Rep Studio in Ithaca, New York. We are a project of the Women's Interfaith Institute in Seneca Falls. Our theme music was composed by Diego Vega. And log on to our new website at outofboundsradioshow.com. We'll be back next week. I'm Tish Perlman.